الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue reading in the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب الصلاة العيدين باب الصلاة العيدين the chapter with regards to the prayer of the two Eid the prayer of the two Eid he mentioned a number of narrations رحمه الله تعالى and we continue reading He says, عن جندب بن عبد الله البجلي عن جندب بن عبد الله البجلي رضي الله عنه أنه قال صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم النحر ثم خطب ثم ذبح وقال من ذبح قبل أن يصلي فليذبح أقرى مكانها ومن لم يذبح فليذبح بسم الله ومن لم يذبح فليذبح بسم الله So the author, he mentioned the narration of Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri, radiyallahu anhu. He's from the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is known as Jundub al-Khayr, and his kunya is Abu Abdullah, Jundub ibn Abdullah ibn Sufyan al-Bajri, radiyallahu anhu. Al-Imam Ahmad, he mentioned about him, rahimahullah, laysa lahu suhbatun qadima. And he is not any from those companions who spent a long time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he is from those who accompanied him and believed in him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So definitely he is from his companions. He has a few narrations, and from them that famous narration in Sunan Ibn Majah and Sunan Ibn Majah, which will likewise clarify any his situation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Kunna ma nabi." صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن فتيان حزاورة ونحن فتيان حزاورة He said that we were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and we were young boys almost to the age of puberty فتعلمنا الإيمان قبل أن نتعلم القرآن and so we learned الإيمان we learned the faith before we learned the Quran We learned the faith, we learned about Iman and the principles and the fundamentals and the foundations of the deen and of the creed. He says, radiyallahu anhu, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ قَبْلَ أَنَ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ So we learned about al-Iman before we learned the Qur'an. ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ فَازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِيمَانًا And then after that we learned the Qur'an and we increased by way of that in faith. In faith, the great importance of learning the fundamentals and the foundations of the religion first and foremost, specifically with regards to the affairs of creed and belief. And then after that, whenever a person, he reads the Qur'an, he will benefit. He will have the keys of knowledge to benefit and to ponder and to reflect over that which is recited and that which is revealed. But this is Jundub ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. So this is our narrator. This is our narrator here. He says, صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم النحر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prayed the Salat on the day of al-Nahr, meaning Salat al-Eid. Salat Eid. Al-Adha. It's called Yawm al-Nahr because of the slaughtering that occurs in that day. Also, it is known as Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, the greatest day of al-Hajj, yani the day of Eid, because the Hujjaj are completing so many numerous sacred rites on that day. So it's known as Yawm al-Nahr, Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, Yawm al-Eid. Eid al-Adha. So he says, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed the Eid prayer that day, ثم خطابه, and then he gave the khutbah. And then he gave the khutbah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثم ذبح, and then he slaughtered. Meaning in the same area, not in the musalla area, but in the same area, near the musalla. Near the musalla. وقال, and he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ذبح قبل أن يصلي فليذبح أقرى مكانها. And whoever slaughtered before they prayed, then they should slaughter another one in place of that. We have seen the rulings with regards to that, and that is because this is an action of worship that is restricted to a specific time, and it's ordered to be performed in a specific time, and that is after the Salat of Eid. And the one who performs it before the Salat of Eid, he did not perform it in his proper time, so therefore it would not be accepted, and it would have to be repeated if he hoped to have that sacred rite accepted from him. If he hoped to have that sacred rite accepted from him. The same thing, for example, if a person, he prayed salat before the time, then that salat would not be accepted and he would have to repeat that. the one who slaughtered before the time. And ذبح قبل أن يصلي فليذبح أخرى مكان هذا. He should slaughter another one in place of that. And in place of that. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن لم يذبح فليذبح بسم الله. And the one who did not slaughter yet, then let him slaughter in the name of Allah. Then let him slaughter in the name of Allah. فليذبح بسم الله يعني قائلا بسم الله. فليسمي عند الذبح. And this is the order here. The one who did not slaughter, then whenever he slaughters, he should slaughter in the name of Allah. Then he should slaughter and mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this narration has a number of benefits from them, again, to emphasize the fact that the salat comes before the khutbah on the day of Eid. And likewise, that the slaughtering, it comes after the salat. The slaughtering, it comes after the salat. It must be performed after the salat. Even if it was performed during the khutbah, it's allowed. Even if it's performed during the khutbah, it's allowed. But it's preferable to wait likewise after the khutbah as well. Because we know with regards to the khutbah of Eid, it's not an obligation to attend that. But it's recommended. But it's recommended. It's recommended to attend that. And it's not obligatory. This is why the salat comes first. The salat comes first. And the khutbah comes later. So if a person is slaughtered after the prayer, but before the khutbah was finished, his nusuk is accepted and correct, inshaAllah. But it's more preferable and more virtuous and better to wait till after that, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So again, to emphasize that affair, that the slaughtering, it comes after the salah. The slaughtering, it comes after the salah, and not before that. And if it was before that, it would not be accepted. It would not be accepted. It would just be food, meat that one could benefit from and eat, but it would not be an action of worship or an udhiyah or a qurban, a means of seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this issue, likewise, and an indication to this has come in the Quran as well. Whenever the dhabih is mentioned with the salat is mentioned first, and then after that, the dhabih. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. The people of knowledge, they mentioned this is with regards to the day of Eid. The day of Eid, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ يعني صلاة العيد. وَانْحَرْ لِرَبِّكَ يعني بعد الصلاة. وَانْحَرْ لِرَبِّكَ يعني بعد الصلاة. So this is the case here. And likewise, Allah, He mentioned in His book, قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So the salat comes first. The salat, it comes first. Even in the mention in the Quran, it comes first before the mention of the nusuk. And this is the legislation likewise that was just clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who slaughtered before that, it would not suffice him, and it would not be correct nor accepted from him, even if he was forgetful or ignorant. Even if he was forgetful or ignorant. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they mention, as for the one, for example, who's traveling, or if he's in a land or an area where there's no Eid prayer, there's no Eid prayer, what will he do? Any, the one who wants to slaughter, but there's no Eid prayer. He's in the land traveling, for example, on the road, or he's far away in a land where the Eid prayer is not established. So the people of knowledge, they mention that in this case, this person, he will wait the amount of time. He will wait before he slaughters the amount of time generally for the salah, meaning after the shuruq. So whenever the sun rises, this is called the shuruq, shuruq al-shams. So before a person can pray and before the time of duha starts, which is likewise the time for salat al-eid, yani the sun must rise, qid al-rumah, yani the distance of a spear in the horizon. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that's about about 15 minutes, about 15 minutes approximately. Approximately 15 minutes. So then the prayer would take probably another 5 to 10 minutes. And after that, so after the time it's allowed to pray, then he will wait about 15 more minutes, approximately, and then after that he will slaughter. Then after that he will slaughter. And this is the case here, and this is what the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to that what is considered is the time of the prayer. If the prayer is not there and it's not established, then the time of the prayer is considered, and he will follow that, and Allah knows best. So that will be the first opportunity to slaughter. That would be the first opportunity to slaughter legislatively the udhiyah on the day of Eid. And the last opportunity to slaughter is at the sunset on the 13th day of Dhul Hijjah, on the last day of the Ayyam al-Tashriq, on the days of Tashriq. So a person, he has from that time on the day of Eid, after the prayer of Eid all the way until he has all day the 10th and the 11th and the 12th until the 13th. It must be performed before the sun sets, before Ghurub al-Shams. And anything in between that time is accepted, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Here likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned فَلْيَذْبَحْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَذْبَحْ, the one who did not slaughter, فَلْيَذْبَحْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ, then he should slaughter in the name of Allah, yani if he intends to slaughter. So this likewise is the mention of the importance of mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever one slaughters, to say Bismillah. This is yani the minimum requirement. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, فَقُولُ مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ, and eat from that which the name of Allah is mentioned upon if you are truly believers in His signs. And Allah, He says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, and do not eat from that which the name of Allah is not mentioned on, and verily indeed it is corruption or evil. And it is corruption and evil. And so the obligation of making the tasmiyah, and this is the madhab of Imam Ahmad, it's an obligation that one, he will make the tasmiyah. Yani, and this is what is correct, and Allah knows best, to mention the name of Allah at the time of slaughtering, that one, he will say Bismillah, and the likes like this. And also he can say Allahu Akbar, Allahumma hadha minka walaka, wa anni wa an ahli bayti, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the likes of this in a number of narrations. Hadha minka, yani it's from you, yani meaning that you're the one who provided it, and laka, and it's for you sincerely, and no one else, and this is on behalf of me and my family. But the minimum requirement, at least he will say Bismillah. He will say Bismillah and mention the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a benefit here we see in the imla, in the writing. فَلْيَذْبَحْ Bismillah. We see that the alif is there. Ba, alif, seen meme, and the word ism. And this is the manner here that it is written, except for in the case of writing the basmala. In the case of writing the basmala, there's a special ruling, and the alif is mahdufa, it's deleted. So whenever you write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or the basmala like this, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then you delete the alif in the writing. You put ba, seen meem. But whenever it's written like this without the basmala, you add the alif, and this is from the rulings that the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to al-imla. Al-imla is dictation in the manner of writing. The manner of writing. After this, the author, he says, An Jabirin radiyallahu anhu anhu qal, shahidtu ma'an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawma al-eid. Yawma al-eid. It's like that here in the text, but in the sahih, it says as-salata yawma al-eid. We should add that here. Shahidtu ma'an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-salata yawma al-eid. Fabada'a bis-salati qabla al-khutbati bila adhan wala iqama. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says, I shahidtu, and from the meanings of shahida, hadara, to attend. Shahida, shay'an, yani that meaning that he was present there and he attended that. Shahidtu ma'an nabi as-salat al-yawm al-eid, yani hadaraha ma'ahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I attended along with the Prophet the prayer on the day of Eid. It's not mentioned here. It's not mentioned here in this narration, but other narrations clarified that this is Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr. So he said, فَبَدَأَ بِالصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ الْخُطْبَةِ. Again, to emphasize this affair, a number of narrations coming from a number of companions, and they're all mentioned in the same ruling about the issue of the salat before the khutbah. He says, so he began with the prayer before the khutbah. He began with the prayer before the khutbah, بِلَا أَذَان وَلَا إِقَامَةً. And here's another fa'idah that's not mentioned in the previous narrations. Without any adhan and without any iqama. Without any adhan and without any iqama. So there's no adhan and no iqama in the Eid prayer. He says, ثُمَ قَامَ مُتَوَكِّئًا عَلَى بِلَالٍ. And then he stood up, مُتَوَكِّئًا يَعْنِي مُعْتَمِدًا عَلَى بِلَالٍ, leaning on Bilal. فَأَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَحَثَّ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ وَوَعَظَ النَّاسَ وَذَكَّرَهُمْ. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his khutbah, he ordered the people with the taqwa of Allah. He ordered the people with the taqwa of Allah, meaning to fear Allah azza wa jal by believing in Him. By believing in Him and applying the commandments and abiding by them, hoping for His reward and avoiding the prohibitions, fearing His punishment. And this is the meaning in general of of at-taqwa. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered. And likewise, he encouraged the obedience of Allah. He encouraged the obedience of Allah. And he gave the people an admonition, and he reminded them. And he reminded them. ثُمَّ مَضَى حَتَّى أَتَى النِّسَاءَ فَوَعَظَهُنَّ وَذَكَّرَهُنَّ. Then he left sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the area here until he went to where the women are. And he gave them an admonishment likewise, and he reminded them as well. وَقَالَ. Here it says وَقَالَ in the actual text is the fa instead of a waw. فَقَالَ تَصَدَّقْنَا فَإِنَّكُنَّ أَكْثَرُ حَطَبِ جَهَنَّةِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he told the women that you should all give charity. Here likewise in the Umda, Al-Umda it says فَإِنَّكُنَّ أَكْثَرُ. But in the actual text of Bukhari and Muslim, you'll find فَإِنَّ أَكْثَرُكُنَّ. فَإِنَّ أَكْثَرَ كُنَّ. فَإِنَّ أَكْثَرَ كُنَّ. The damir is on أكثر, not on إِنَّ. Not on إِنَّ. Yeah, so we can correct that likewise. فَإِنَّ كُنَّ أَكْثَرُ حَطَبِ جَهَنَّمُ. That's how it is here. In the text, it's mentioned فَإِنَّ أَكْثَرَ كُنَّ حَطَبُ جَهَنَّمَ. حَطَبُ جَهَنَّمَ. That verity, you should all give charity, oh you women, because the majority of you are in the hellfire. Not meaning the majority of those women there specifically, but the majority of the women in general. This is the intent here. The majority of the women, yani in general, the majority of the people of the hellfire, waliyadhu billah, are women. And they are fuel for the fire. Hatab jahannam, yani the fuel for the hellfire. فَقَامَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِّن سِطَةِ النِّسَاءِ. So a woman, she stood up from the middle of the women. A woman, she stood up from the middle of the women. From the middle of the women, yani the middle area, anywhere that where they're sitting, yani like this, and amongst the women, in the middle of them. And yani she's sitting in the middle, jalisa. This is what An-Nawawi, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And another narration in An-Nasa'i, it mentioned, min safilatin nisa. من سفلة النساء فقامت امرأة من سفلة النساء يعني من ساقطاتهن يعني from the lowly of the women يعني in one wording in النسائي that she was here is from she's sitting in the middle of the women she stood up and in النسائي it's mentioning that she's from the lowly of the women and another narration had come in Al-Musnad by Imam Ahmed it's mentioned ليست من علية النساء أو من عقارهن. She's not from the lofty or the noble of the women, nor from the most intelligent of the women. Yani the one who stood up. This is what has come in the narrations with regards to this woman. Here the narration continues. سفعاؤ الخدين. سفعاؤ الخدين. That her cheeks are changed. Yani there's a bit of change, darkness, black mixed in her cheeks like this in this manner that could be seen. The color of her cheeks have changed, mixed with some blackness or some darkness. فقالت, and she said, لِمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said, oh, and why, O Messenger of Allah? صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is the reason for them to be in the hellfire? So no doubt this is a beneficial question, and a question that is coming from someone who's concerned. And this is an important affair, that a person, he should ask what causes the people to burn in the hellfire, to enter into the hellfire, to be punished in the hellfire, to be humiliated in the hellfire. What are the reasons for that? And in order to know those affairs, in order to avoid them and to leave them. Because a person, he cannot leave something unless he knows about that, and he knows how to leave it, and the likes. As the Salaf used to say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear something and avoid it if he does not know what to fear nor to avoid? So this is a beautiful question coming from this woman in this manner. What is the reason for the majority of the women being in the hellfire and being the fuel for the fire? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَالَ لِأَنَّكُنَّ تُكْثِرْنَا الشَّكَاتَ وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْأَشِيرِ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you women, you complain abundantly. You abundantly or often complaining about your situations and circumstances and the likes like this. And complaining, no doubt, is from the foul manners and the bad ways. Especially if one is complaining about the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the circumstances that Allah has decreed. Now it's like a person, he is an objection to the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the one who is complaining about his situation always and complaining about his circumstance and he's unhappy with what he's facing, this is in reality a clarification that he's unhappy with the decrees of Allah. So a believer, he is ordered to be patient in the time of hardship or difficulty whenever he is faced with things that is not coinciding with his intention or what he desires and what he likes. He's patient and he accepts that. And he takes the means that are legislated to avoid that, and he will not complain. He will not complain about the decrees of the Creator to the creation. And Allah, He is the one who is the most merciful, and the people, they do not show mercy. So therefore, one will not complain about the most merciful to those who have no say in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is one reason why they are there. So the one who is complaining, this is a problem. And this is the aspect of that problem. Yani having an issue, an objection, and not accepting the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fact that it will continue and becomes a conduct of that person or a habit, this is an indication that that's the reason why. So whenever it becomes abundantly, this is the case. As for if a person was just to express any his situation to somebody, or to clarify that to them, or explain for the reason. For example, maybe he's not able to catch up and they're walking or they're doing something, and the reason why, because he has an ailment in his leg or in his body, so it's prohibiting him from moving in the manner of the rest of the people. It's allowed for him to clarify, I have a problem, where somebody invited him to an event or something like that, but he has an extreme headache or he has some problem like this. And that's an excuse for him to say, "Yani, I excuse myself, I have a headache, I'm not feeling well." Like this is not any included here, and this is allowed. This is not included here, and this is allowed, just to simply inform of the situation without complaining, and without it being something that somebody does abundantly or becomes known for that. So this is the first reason. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the second reason. He says, "Watakfurna al-ashir, watakfurna al-ashir," and you are ungrateful, and you are ungrateful to al-ashir. Al-ashir, the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is fa'il bimana mufa'il, yani al-mu'ashir. والمعاشر هو الزوج هو الزوج فعير بمعنى مفاعل يعني عشير بمعنى المعاشر يعني الزوج. Because you are ungrateful to your husbands, because you are ungrateful to your husbands. And other narrations that are similar to this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified a bit more detail. He said, لو أحسنت إلى إحداهن الدهر كله ثم رأت منك شيئا قالت ما رأيت منك خيرا قط. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if you were to do good to this to one of them, and the women who are like this, again, this is a warning and a reminder, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he admonished them and he warned them and he reminded them, and so that they can be aware of this affair and avoid these characteristics and traits, and not be from the women that are like that, not be from the women who are from the fuel of the hellfire. Not to be from the women who are from the fuel of the hellfire. But in the other narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned likewise from the traits of those women, is that if you were to do good to them all the time, and to do good to them constantly, much good to them, then they saw something from you, meaning something they didn't like, or they didn't get their way this one time. And meaning that you make them happen, you please them all the time, and then one time you have to tell them no. Or one time you don't agree with them like this, at this time she's going to be like, I never seen you do anything good. You never do this or you never do that. Or the likes like this. And then all the time in reality, her desires are being fulfilled and she's being pleased and allowed to do what she needs to do and ask for. And then one time whenever you tell her no, or it's not suitable or it's not proper, any to do what she's requesting in the time that she's requesting, sometimes the women, they will do the likes like this. And they will say, oh, you never do this or you never do that. You never do this or you never do that. Sometimes one of them will be in the market with their husband and he's allowing her to fill up the basket with whatever she needs. And then something will happen. And while he's ready, he's about to pay for the food. And he is letting her fill the basket with whatever she needs. And she's looking at a list on her phone that he's paying the bill for. He bought her the phone and he bought her the internet that she's using and the likes like this. And then she'll pop off at him and be rude to him. And you never do this or you never do that. Or you never help me or you never care for me or never take care of me or my children and so on and so forth. And it's as if she forgot all of that good. So this is from the reason of the women being in the hellfire. So therefore, this is an indication and an advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the women should be aware from that. That this is something that the women are tried with specifically. No doubt, likewise, men complain. Some men, they have that same characteristic. They'll fall into the same affair. Or likewise, sometimes maybe the man also will be ungrateful, and he will misuse or abuse his wife and the likes like that. So this is no doubt the case. This goes both ways. But here is specific the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning that this is from those traits of those women that landed them in the hellfire. So therefore they would, a woman should to be aware of this, and to know that she has this type of temperament inside of herself, and she should strive against the soul to remove that, to not display that. To remove that and to not display that out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. But no doubt, this is a general situation and circumstance, and many of the women, they do not complain whatsoever, and they're humble, and they're helpful, and they're beneficial, and they're kind, and they're nice. And others, likewise, some women, they're not ungrateful, but rather they're very grateful, and they're very kind, and a great companion, and means of mercy and happiness and joy in the home. So this is not the case for every woman, but with many women. This is not the case with every woman, but with many women. So these are the traits that a woman, she would be aware of and try to leave, and to avoid and to stay away from. Qala, so he said, radiyallahu anhu, lam qala faja'alna yatasaddaqna min huliyihinna yulqina fi thawbi biladin min aqritatihinna wa khawatimihinna. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, at this time, whenever the women heard this, they immediately began to give charity from the jewelry that they're wearing on their person at that moment. They immediately began to give charity whenever they heard this affair, and they started putting their jewelry from their earrings and from their rings and the likes of this, from their jewelry that they had on at that moment, they started putting them in the thawb of Bilal. And Bilal is stretching his thawb, radiyallahu anhu. And the women are throwing and casting or placing their jewelry in there as a sadaqah and swift compliance to the order and the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this narration there are a number of benefits. There are a number of benefits, and from that is that the Prophet again sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began with the salah before the khutbah. And likewise that the Salat of Eid, there's no Adhan and no Iqamah. And likewise there's no As-Salatu Jami'ah or anything like this. There's no call for it whatsoever, not for Salat of Eid. And then likewise in the Khutbah, we see that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he ordered the people with the Taqwa of Allah. He ordered the people to have the taqwa of Allah. And this is from the best and greatest of all admonishments. The order for the taqwa of Allah. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. This is the admonishment and the advice and the command of Allah Azza wa Jal for the first and the last of all mankind. To have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the greatest and best and most beneficial interpretations of this word is what has come from Talq ibn Habib, the great Tabi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned, "And ta'mala bi ta'ati Allahi ala nurin min Allah, tarju thawab Allah, wa an tatruka ma'asiyat Allah ala nurin min Allah, makhafata adhab Allah, aw khawfan min adhab Allah." That one, he will work in the obedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, meaning upon knowledge and sincere faith, hoping for the reward of Allah, and that he will leave off the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, meaning upon correct and proper knowledge and sincere faith, while he's fearing the punishment of Allah. So this is the issue here, and this is the affair of the khutbah. The khutbah is like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered the people with the taqwa of Allah in this manner. Like this, and order them to obey Allah, to fear Him, to believe in Him, and to comply to His commandments, and to hope for His reward and His promise and mercy, and to fear Him, and to fear His punishment, and to avoid His anger, and stay away from that which is impermissible and leads to the hellfire, out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, and then he encouraged over to the obedience of Allah. The word taqwa in general has the same meaning of the ta'ah. But whenever they're mentioned together, like in this context, yani what is intended, and Allah knows best, is that taqwa is specifically referring to avoiding and leaving the prohibitions. And the ta'a is with regards to fulfilling the obligations and that which is recommended. But in reality, the ta'a of Allah Azza wa Jal is the same thing. To obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by complying to His commandments and avoiding and staying away from his prohibitions, upon sincere faith and knowledge, and upon light, and hoping for the reward and fearing his punishment. So therefore we see from the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like this: to order the people in this manner to obey Allah and to fear him, and to comply to the commandments of Allah, and to fulfill his rights subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hope for his reward and to fear his punishment. وَوَعَظَ النَّاسِ وَذَكَّرَهُمْ, and he admonished them. He gave them an admonishment sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reminded them. Likewise, the al-maw'idah or al-wa'ad is the same or similar to the tadhkir. The tadhkir, and neither a reminder. The reminder is an admonition. The reminder will be an admonition. And the people of knowledge, they mention an admonition or maw'idah is whenever a person, he will mention the rulings of al-Islam, and he will mention them coupled with the encouragement to perform them. If there are commandments and to warn them and of the threat of disobeying them. يعني ذكر الحكم المقرون بالترغيب والترهيب بالترغيب والترهيب. So he will mention the rulings about Islam and then encourage them and encourage them and mention the benefits of performing them and the great reward for the righteous and the home in the hereafter and the pleasure of Allah. And likewise he will prohibit them and mention that which is impermissible and he will warn them from that and warn them of the dangers of the of sins and the outcome of sins and the humiliation of the sinners in this life and the hereafter and the likes like this. This is an admonition and a reminder. And this is the case of the khutbah. The khutbah is something very serious and major in al-Islam. It's from the sacred rites of al-Islam. Shi'ira min sha'air ad-deen. Yani, so it's something that it must be shown great respect and great honor from the khatib and from the hudur, from the one who's giving the khutbah, and likewise from those who are attending the khutbah. So the khatib, likewise, he has to respect and honor this affair and learn and know what he's going to say and how he's going to mention it. And the khutbah is not like yani a muhadara. It's not like just coming and giving a talk. Nah, the khutbah is something that a person he comes with admonishment and riling the people and trying to, and moving the hearts and encouraging them in the best manner. So the khutbah is different than a regular sermon or a regular speech or a regular class and the likes like this. And it has a manner to it and a haybah to it and a manner that should be performed. And it's incumbent for those who give the khutbah to show concern for that and to prepare for that. And they shouldn't just come yani to the khutbah without any preparation and freestyle and just go with al-insha and just make up the khutbah as they go and talk like this or just talk about even topics like American government and American politics like some masajid had tried with wadiyadu billah or foolishness or world politics or things that have no issue, no reminder. A person come to the khutbah and leave and he has no benefit whatsoever. Rather, sometimes you will come to some of the khutbah that are like that and you will leave yani angry. You come happy that it's Jumu'ah and you leave angry, as if the man he stole the khutbah from you and stole the benefit from you. You leave because of the ignorance that is mentioned in some of the masajid, wa'iyadhu billah. So the khatib, he has to be someone of knowledge. He knows what he's talking about. And likewise, he has to prepare for that and fear Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to delivering that and be sincere and strive to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, those attending, they have to pay attention and listen. They have to pay attention and listen. Many people are tried these days, yani in the khutbah, not only will some of them will be talking one to another, and this happens a lot, as I've been informed on the sister's side. Wadiyadhi billah. The imam is giving the khutbah, and the woman, she'll come and give salam, and then start talking to sisters, sit down, how are you doing, and the likes like this. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. It's better for her to stay home. Much better for the likes of that woman to stay home than to come and to speak during the khutbah. To come and to speak during the khutbah. It's not even an obligatory for her to come. But if she's not going to obey the manners and the etiquettes of al-Islam and respect the khutbah and the likes of this great sacred rite, then it's an obligation for her to stay home. It's not an obligation for her to come, but if she's going to do the likes of that, it's an obligation for her to stay home. She's not allowed to come and do the likes of this, nor the men likewise. It's not allowed for the men to come to the masjid and the imam is giving the khutbah and they're playing with their phone and they're looking through WhatsApp and they're sending messages and the likes like this, or talking to each other in the back. Yani sitting in the back talking to one another and the likes like this. This is all an indication of the weakness of faith and lack of understanding and ignorance, or lack of concern and care for the sacred rites of al-Islam, for the sacred rites of al-Islam. A believer, he will come, before he comes to the khutbah, the Eid khutbah or the Jummah khutbah, either one of them, Before he comes, he beautifies himself. He takes a ghusl, and he, following the sunnah of the Prophet, he puts on his best clothing. He puts on the best perfume, put it in the best manner, coming out of his home in the best way, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the way to the masjid. He will come and then he will pray as he likes, two, until the imam comes. He will pray two if he wants to and sit down and read the Quran. Remember Allah. He'll pray two until the imam comes and stands on the minbar like this, but he comes with the intention to benefit. And the khutbah is from the great means of da'wah. From the great means of da'wah. And getting the message to the people and clarifying the rulings of Islam and reminding them and waking them up, as the Prophet ﷺ did. It's not a place for politics. It's not a place for personal agenda and personal goals. Sometimes a person, he will have his own agenda and something that he wants, and he will address individuals in his khutbah and the likes like this. This is not right. This is not correct. The religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not something to play with, and it's not a personal game. Rather, the one who's going to give the khutbah, he will stand and he will hope to benefit the people the best that he can. He will hope to mention that which is most important for them at that time and that circumstance in those days, and to benefit them and to remind them the best that they can, to teach them those who do not know, and to remind the ones who know, and to encourage them to be steadfast and to be upright, and to warn them of the evils of the society and the days that they're living in. And it's really a tremendous affair, the day of Jumu'ah and the khutbah of Jumu'ah, Allahu Akbar. So the khatib, he has to honor that affair. And likewise, those who are attending the khutbah. And some people, even they don't even concern or even care about the khutbah, they show up after the khutbah is finished. Even some of them worse, they don't even care about the salah. Likewise, then they show up after the prayer has already started or it's almost finished. And they barely catch this or they barely catch that. And he having no care or concern. And he mashguluna bid-dunya. The person, he has to try to make efforts to adjust his schedule. He had to make efforts to adjust his schedule so he can come on time. And likewise, if one doesn't live in the area, make efforts to make sure he comes on time to the khutbah where the people of the sunnah are delivering the khutbah. And now he doesn't have to go to some of the masajid where the ignorant or the foolish or the layman or the misguided are known for giving the khutbah. He will come to the khutbah where he can learn and benefit from. The point is to show honor and respect to this affair. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was upon from giving the khutbah. He ordered for taqwa. He encouraged the people to obey Allah azza wa jalla. He reprimanded them and reminded them. And he admonished them. And he benefited them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, he went to the women. So this is an indication likewise that the women should be specified in the Eid khutbah with some type of talk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to them and specified them with speech. In our days we have a microphone, so there's no need to go to the women directly, but rather to make a portion of the khutbah specific for them and to remind them in a manner that's specific. Although they now hear and listen to the general benefit, but still to specify them with some reminders and some admonition, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Many of the people of knowledge from them, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, they clarified from here that the khutbah of Eid is only one khutbah and not two. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave one khutbah to the men and then he walked to the women and gave another khutbah and then he finished sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what is apparent, and Allah knows best. So what is apparent from this narration and other narrations with regards to the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Eid is that it's only one khutbah and not two. And this is what is apparent from the likes of these narrations. And Shaykh Uthaymeen and other than him, rahimahullah, have mentioned the likes of this. Although the majority of the scholars in the form of Dhahib, they all have mentioned that they compared the khutbah of Eid to do the khutbah of the Jumu'ah. They made the qiyas like this, and they all agreed that it is two khutbah, just as the Jumu'ah is like this. But the one who looks in the narrations, what is apparent from these narrations is that it's only one. But the people of knowledge mentioned, even if a person, he believed that it was only one based upon these narrations, and if he was in a society or community where if he were to pray the Eid with one khutbah, it would cause problems or cause commotion in the people. Some people would ask questions, or some people would doubt, or some people would cause problems with regards to that, then he would avoid that and just follow that which is well known in the land. But for example, here in these lands, any person, he has the opportunity to hold fast to that which is clear in the narrations. And alhamdulillah, if one were to do that, then inshallah, this is the sunnah. This is the sunnah. So here, this evidence here is clear for that. Also from those who mentioned similar to this, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullahu Ta'ala, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullahu Ta'ala, and other than them. But in any case, if someone prayed the Eid with two khutbah, then it's correct. And this is what the majority of the scholars have been upon, yani for a great period of time. But likewise, if they prayed one, following which is apparent from these narrations as well, there are other people of knowledge who have verified that and who have mentioned that. So we see here likewise that this woman who stood up, she was from the middle of the people and from the middle of the women and sitting in the middle of them. What is mentioned about her, that she was from the lowly of them, or not from the most knowledgeable of them, or she was not from the high ranking of them, and Allah knows best. Some of the people have tried to use this evidence as an indication of the permissibility of uncovering the face, because Jabir radiallahu anhu, he mentioned from her attributes, saf'a'u al-khaddain, and he saw her cheeks, that they had changed colors, they had some darkness in them, or some blackness in them, and the likes like this. But the people of knowledge have clarified that this is not a proof for that, nor an evidence. And from the greatest points which with regards to that is the fact that this very possible that this narration occurred before the obligation of the hijab. Before the obligation of the hijab. And it's known that Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed in approximately the 5th or 6th year. And the legislation of Eid, Salat Al-Eid, it started in the 2nd year, any meaning after the Hijrah. So no doubt it's very possible that this khutbah here, it occurred before the legislation of the hijab. There's no indication here to point that this is after the legislation, nor before the legislation. So it's uncertain. It could possibly be that or that. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned about the dalil, إذا تطرق إليه الاحتمال بطل الاستدلال, that an evidence, if there's any possibility, if a person, a scholar, he uses the evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah as a proof for a particular issue, but that specific evidence carries a possibility of one or the other, then it cannot be used as a proof. It cannot be used as a proof. Something that possibly, this narration possibly became after the hijab. If that's the case, then it's a proof for them. But also possibly it came before the hijab. So if that's the case, it's not a proof for them. So the fact that this possibility is here with regards to this narration, it cannot be used as a proof for that. You understand? The proof, the evidence has to be cutting proof. It has to be clear. It cannot be maybe this or possibly that. It cannot carry the possibility of one or the other. Also other responses. And so this one is clear. Everybody clear with that? This narration here, possibly, was narrated or occurred, this event here occurred before the obligation of the hijab. Before the obligation of the hijab. Not to mention, along with all the narrations that have come other than that, with the fact that after the revelation of the hijab, like whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hajj, after the revelation of the obligation of hijab, Aisha radiallahu anha, she would mention that whenever they make tawaf, they're in ihram, no doubt the woman, she uncovers her face, but whenever strange men will come by, they would cover their face. So this is in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the legislation of hijab, and this is what they were upon, covering their faces. So this one is something that is established. Likewise, this narration here has been narrated from a number of companions. It's been narrated from a number of companions, from them Abdullah ibn Abbas, and likewise from them Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and other than that, if I'm not mistaken, likewise Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and also Jabir. No one mentioned this woman here and the fact that her face was uncovered except for Jabir. So likewise, another response the people of knowledge have mentioned, that since she was not from the most intelligent of the women, and she was not from the lofty of the women, maybe she's from those women, she didn't know how to do the hijab properly, where she's not good at that. If it was in the time of the hijab. So therefore, her hijab came off in this manner, and Jabir, he seen what everybody else didn't see. So he narrated what he saw in this manner like this. So there's a number of any answers the people of knowledge who have mentioned about this narration, that it's not a proof for those who try to use it as an evidence that the woman, she is allowed to uncover her face. And there's a number of proofs for this. From them, these two I mentioned two of them. The first one is the strongest, yani, and that's very clear. That is very clear. So in any case, this evidence here, yani, is not, or this narration here is not an evidence for that. It's not, alhamdulillah, an evidence for that. Rather, what is the clear evidence is the fact of Aisha radiallahu anha, how she would cover her face, even her and the muhrimat, even whenever they're in ihram, whenever you're not supposed to. So the indication that whenever that she would, in this state, even cover her face when strange men would come around, then how about whenever they're not in ihram? Then how about whenever they're not in ihram? Even more rightful. Not to mention the ayat in Ihzab clarifies that. That they should pull down the jilbab over their heads, yani over their whole body. A number of narrations and evidences clarifying this. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they all have agreed that the woman, she should cover her feet. The woman, she should cover her feet with socks. She should not walk around with her feet uncovered. As far as I know, the people of knowledge, the madhahib, they didn't differ about that. That the feet, they have to be covered. So which one is more tempting for a man? If he sees her feet or sees her face? Okay, so if the feet have to be covered, then more rightfully the face has to be covered, because it's more tempting, especially if she is from the women who are blessed with beauty, who are blessed with beauty and the likes like this. And Allah knows best. From the benefits of this narration, likewise, is the fact that the woman, they go out to the musalla. And that they come to the eat. And likewise, that they will not be mixed with the men. And they will be in a place that is separate. So this is an indication of the obligation of separating the men from the women. And this is a great, great day and a great celebration of Eid and a great act of worship. And they're in the action of performing worship, and they're establishing a prayer, and they're sitting for a sermon, a religious sermon. Yet the women, they're on one side and the men are on the other, to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went to them to talk to them, because possibly or most likely they did not hear what he said because of the fact that they're away from him and they're on the other side. So this is an indication likewise that this is the case with the women and the men, that they should not be mixed together. If this is the case in a great celebration like Eid and establishing a great action of worship, then how about in the markets and in the streets? And how about in the jobs and in the occupations? If they're not allowed or supposed to even mix whenever they're in these great actions of worship, then that one should be on one side and the other should be on the other side. How about whenever they're dealing with their worldly affairs? And unfortunately, this is something that the Western ideology is striving to change, and striving to change and to influence the Muslim woman specifically in order to corrupt the society, in order to corrupt the Islam, and to corrupt the Muslim home by corrupting the woman, waliyadu billah. In any case, yani, mixing is very dangerous and foul and a lowly way. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had them separated in this manner. And Allah knows best. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.